This evening, we'll be reflecting on those statement that Jesus made, I am the resurrection and the life, which we just read in John 11. But to start, I want to read a verse that was just a few verses before that reading, the same scene, the raising of Lazarus, that whole narrative, but from verse 11. After saying these things, Jesus said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think the number is seven times in education you need to repeat something seven times before they remember. So you will hear this opening session seven times, and you will remember. Long, long in the future, oh, I remember when Pastor Ark said that seven times in a row. Boy, I got tired of that. Okay, so I am seven times, or at least seven times in John. And in fact, we find out it's more than seven times in John, because this statement tonight actually has two statements. I am the resurrection, I am the life. But at least seven times then, there are seven sections in John where Jesus says, I am. And John, one of his clear teachings is that Jesus, he was also involved in Creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all created. And so when Jesus says, I am, it's referring to Exodus 3 and many other places where God's name is Yahweh. I am that I am. And he uses this name then to teach his disciples that he is God and that what he is for them. We remember that the Creator God then, he speaks, declares, and creates. Let there be light. He spoke it, he declares it, and creates it. And there was light. So when Jesus says something, it creates faith in us. It draws us to believe in him. And it is our reality. He has created it. So the statements that we've covered so far, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door. Tonight, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. So two statements there. We'll think about each separately a little bit, but they're totally linked together. But they are two different words and concepts. Resurrection and life. Just a few things to think about from this whole narrative of the raising of Lazarus. How many days when Jesus arrived and talked to Martha, which we just read, Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Thank you. 4 days. So he was dead. You know, I was reading that text, and it says, many Jews came to console Mary and Martha. This was an utterly public event. Everybody knew that Lazarus was dead. He had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. That's the reality, right? Or is Jesus saying something else as well? Well, Jesus says, on his way down, before he arrives there, he tells his disciples, our friend has fallen asleep, but I go to waken him. Asleep. Not somewhere else or impossible to find. Asleep. To Jesus, Lazarus is still alive. He still exists. But he's asleep in the tomb. These words that Jesus uses is just, it's present tense, it's now, I need to go do this. And he's still alive, he's just sleeping, even though he's in the tomb. He's still alive, his body is dead. He's not breathing, his heart has stopped. But he's still alive. And what he needs is to be awakened. And then, as I was also looking at this, one of the very sweet phrases in this whole text is when Jesus says to his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Lazarus is in the tomb. He's been buried there for 4 days. but he's still Jesus' friend. That's the reality. The person who dies in the faith is the friend of Jesus Christ, the Creator, the one who can call all things into being, his friend. Not only that, but he uses first person plural. He doesn't say, my friend. No, it's plural. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. He's your friend too, disciples. He is in the grave. He has been buried in the tomb. But he's your friend too, my friend and your friend. And so in our cemetery, where our loved ones are buried, or friends, they have died in the faith. They are friends. They are asleep there for the time. But the reality is that they are in Christ. And they're his friends. And at any moment, he can return and call his people back to life to awaken them. That's the reality of being our resurrection. And it doesn't take some kind of, magic show with all kinds of props and everything to make it look like the person is coming back to life, but he merely needs to say, awake. Or as he literally says in the Lazarus text, come forth. And he comes forth. Let there be light, and there is light. Lazarus comes forth, he comes forth, he's awake, he's alive. That also is the reality of Jesus' resurrection. When he says, wake up, all the deadness goes away. He is the Creator. It's very clear in other parts of Scripture, and this text as well, that when Jesus will raise our bodies on the last day, we cannot die again. And so that's a little bit different than what happens in this narrative, because Lazarus died again. He came to life for a time, back to life for a time in this world, but not in his glorified body, because Lazarus died again. Lazarus is not among us yet. He died again. But when Jesus comes and raises us and wakes us, then we are in a body that cannot die, that cannot corrupt, that cannot have any problem. Scripture is clear, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, and then we follow. And so as Jesus was, he had the scars in his hand and his side and his feet, but he was not bleeding, he was not hurt, he was not wounded anymore. And he spoke and ate and was with his disciples. He's that the way he was and is now, we shall be. He's the first fruits. And death has no power over him again. And when Jesus gives us our glorified bodies, no power over us anymore. No death, no sin, no corruption. When you think about it, that's asleep. Yes, maybe somebody has been asleep for 10 years, 100 years, 500 years, but it doesn't matter to Jesus. When he awakens the person on the last day, body is complete, whole, as God intends. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, the body dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You really cannot die in Christ. You go asleep in Christ. That is the reality he calls into our lives as our resurrection. Thinking on, I am the life. What is the little tagline a lot of water bottling companies like to use? Bottled at the source. And you never know what that is, right? It might be a good spring or it might be the garden hose, But whatever the source is, then that phrase means, it's good, it's pure, it's unadulterated, it's just what you need, it's good for you. Well, Jesus is the source of true life. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they turned away from the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. They turned away from the God who said, let the waters teem with fishes, let the birds fill the air, let the animals creep and crawl and walk all over the land. They turned away from the God who could just say that and it would happen. And so they turned away from life and the Creator who made life to death. But Jesus calls us to believe in him. He said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." He calls us, "I am the life. Turn to him." He calls life and us to have faith in him, to have life. He is the source. Everything in this life detracts us from thinking that God, that Jesus Christ is the source. Christ is the source. As we are in Advent, we are waiting for Jesus to make things, everything complete. We're waiting for Jesus to return. And you know there's this dual theme in Advent. It comes out in the readings all the time. The waiting for Jesus to return in glory, second time, the last day. While this little time we're waiting for in church, the 4 weeks of Advent for Christmas. And so both are going, his second coming and his first coming. We're still waiting for a second coming, but his first coming, we're waiting to celebrate his first coming. So there's a waiting thing going on, and they're interrelated. But when you think about it, all of our lives here on earth, we're waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to return. We're waiting for our resurrection and life to be complete. Maybe the altar committee needs to just leave up the blue pyramids all year. We're waiting. No, don't. You can change them. But you get the idea. We're waiting constantly throughout our lives. We're waiting for Jesus. Going back a number of weeks, we had the parable of the 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. One of the servants got 5 talents, one of the servants got 2 talents, one of the servants got 1 talent. We remember that these were equivalent to millions of dollars. But what were they doing as they were investing, or the last guy hiding the money? They were waiting for their master to return. And many of Jesus' teachings tells us you're waiting. You're waiting. In the meantime, there's things for you to do, but we're waiting. And so all of our life is waiting. So Advent is waiting that 4 weeks to Christmas, but we're really always in Advent. We're waiting for Jesus to return. And he has us to do things in the meantime for his glory, for the good of his people. But our joy at Christmas time is founded upon the fact that he's already come and is with us now. If you go down, I forget who it was. Somebody complimented. Somebody was visiting us outside the area. They're visiting us and said, Ridgeville is really pretty. They complimented all the decorated trees and lights and things. But if you see all those decorations and you don't know the meaning behind it, you don't know that Jesus has already come and is with me now and with my family now and protecting me now, if you don't know that, then what do all these lights mean? And you can be, they don't necessarily change anything in life. You can be scared or confident or sinful or whatever, but they don't change anything in your life. But as Christians, we know he's come, and he's even with us now. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, there he is. And behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. The foundation and joy of our waiting these 4 weeks for Christmas is that he's with us now. And he's helping us, he's assisting us to wait for him to return again. So it's Advent, and we'll celebrate Christmas very soon, but we're still waiting with his strength and joy that he's with us now. As we continue with the I am statements, remember, these are teachings and promises of Jesus, and he wants us to be absolutely confident that he is, I am, our resurrection and our life. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you sent your Son who gave us these teachings of I am and so many others as well. We ask you to build up our faith and confidence in Christ, to know that we are never left alone, that we're waiting for him to return, but we're not waiting alone. You are with us. Give us this joy and this foundation in all that we do and plan in this Christmas season. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.